Welcome back, y'all.
Welcome back.
That's what I'm talking about. Feels like it hasn't even been a minute. Like, we're just back at it. I love it.
Yeah, for sure, dude. For sure.
So what you been up to, man?
You know, things.
That's what I'm talking about.
Taking it day by day.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Man, I've just been chilling, holed up, trying to watch a couple movies. I got a chance to finally catch Godzilla Minus One.
I've been wanting to see that one.
Man, and just like you, like it's just, I hadn't found the time. I finally did, and bro, it's fucking epic.
It's got a lot of acclaim, dude. I would say, from what I've heard, it is probably the best one of the entire series. And that's a multi-million dollar franchise right there.
Oh, man. And they've been doing it forever, right?
Absolutely. Did you know, I probably said this in another podcast, but did you know that there's different Godzillas?
What do you mean? Like the Mecha Godzilla and the...
Well, not just that, but I mean, yes, Mecha Godzilla is one of them, but there's a different style of Godzilla. So generations have passed and stuff, and different Godzillas represent different things. So the, oh God, what That's is it called?
Dope. I had no idea.
The, I could be wrong, and anyone who's listening could correct me if I'm wrong, but the Jin Godzilla or something like that. He's the Godzilla that is an enemy of mankind.
What?
It is. Yeah, the original Godzilla came and stormed the cities and stuff and was... destructive towards mankind, and that's what Minus One is all about. It's the Shin Godzilla or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's different generations of Godzilla. I don't know them all off the top of my head, but I had talked to people who are huge fans, as I am too. I mean, I watched this shit since I was a kid, but I didn't know there was different levels of Godzilla. Even the one with Matthew Broderick, the early 2000s Godzilla that came out. Yeah,
with the Puffy video?
Yeah.
Where he's on the side of the building with, like, fucking Busta Rhymes. That shit was dope. Can you feel me
he's
now?
Actually part of, he's actually part of the canon as well.
Okay.
He is known as the Zilla Godzilla.
Man, that's what I want to be known as when I get older, the Zilla.
The Zilla.
And you know what? So I had fallen off as a kid. I used to watch the OG ones, you know, like with the Rodan and Mothra.
Absolutely.
And they were so sick. They were perfect for me growing up. And then, like, I fell off and I kind of forgot about the whole thing. I seen it in theaters, like even the Broderick one. I was like, whatever. But we were chilling at home. We caught the Minus One and I was blown away. Like, epic. Amazing, great story. Like, it hit everything for me. So then we went and watched that Godzilla versus King Kong, the first one. Man, that thing was dope too. I mean, like, I think I got some catching up to do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there is a time consumed right there because there are hundreds of hours of Godzilla just waiting to happen. And if you guys haven't seen any of the Godzilla movies, I do recommend you go and see them. I want to say Toho Studios or whatever. They even doubled back and started redoing the Godzillas somewhere around the early 2000s to make it more modern, I guess. So, and you can find all these movies. Literally, there's a playlist of these Godzilla movies on YouTube.
Hey, free, so. All right. So don't stop listening to this episode. Finish listening to us and then.
Absolutely.
Dive into treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Anyway, yeah, man. So that's kind of what I've been up to, you know, like checking that out. I did get
You gotta go back, dude. You gotta go back to the origins, man. I mean, Godzilla is one of the greatest monsters of history. I went to a Monster Palooza and there was a guy that was cosplaying as Godzilla, and it was the coolest costume I think I've seen excellent costumes over the years, but goddamn, did that not, that it just blew it out of the water, man. I've never seen anything like it. It was like Godzilla was really there at Monster Palooza.
Damn, that would be a sight. I'm sure we can Google it, find that picture.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh man, awesome, man. Hey, so we weren't here to talk about Godzilla. We wanted to go ahead and catch up because we had another banger for the masses, don't we?
Oh, we absolutely do. Another banger. We're gonna go straight into this new film that we're talking about today. So, as I said before, tonight the monsters are running amok, and we run for that radio station 66.6 KDUL on a segment we call Bad Channels.
The entire town of Pahuta is tuned to Superstation 66.
Please, this bump's killing me.
That was funny.
But while Dangerous Dan O'Dare is rocking the airwaves, a disc jockey from outer space is about to change the frequency to total terror.
Can you believe this guy? What a maniac.
He's offering a prize to any beautiful woman who's listening.
Hey, whatever they're doing, it's intense.
A one-way trip to another galaxy.
It really sucks.
It was one of those things you don't quite see.
Aliens are using my voice to aim the machinery.
Oh my God.
Turn off your radios, people. They're doing it again.
In space, no one is safe from rock and roll.
A 1992 film directed by, I couldn't say his name properly, but I do imagine it's very European-esque.
Ted Nicolau? Nicolau?
Nicolau.
I hope I'm not mastering it, because let me tell you, Ted, you did a good job. Starring Martha Quinn. I don't know if you know about Martha Quinn. We'll talk about that in a minute. Paul Hipp was Dan O'Dare. We also got Peanut down at the Greasy Spoon.
The diner.
Yeah, he's played by Sonny Carl Davis. And Vernon Locknut, who's the station manager who brought in Dan O'Dare, he's played by Aaron Lustig. All of these characters, as you pointed out, Matt, were like just a hoot. Good times. Written by Charles Band and Jack Canson. Now, Charles Band, you might know him. He is one of the founders of a really, really epic production studio. Actually, two production studios in the horror science fiction space, right? Or at least two that I could think of.
Yes. What we didn't disclose is that we had talked about this a little bit earlier before the podcast, but he is one of the founder, or is the founder, of Full Moon Entertainment.
Full Moon Features, which is the second studio after he had already founded Empire Pictures. Now, Full Moon Features is a pretty cool studio in that they focused on, well, the main one that I think of is Puppet Master.
Puppet Master was, I think, the launch title. And yes. Yeah, it's been talked about on this podcast before. Full Moon is a great movie production. I believe Charles Band, did I say his name right?
Yeah, Charles Band.
Charles Band owns a castle, which actually was featured in the movie Castle Freak, which was another Full Moon feature.
Absolutely. Well, so he started with Empire Pictures, which is okay. Which is where we got Ghoulies, the Dungeon Master, Terrorvision, the Reanimator, one of our old exes, one of our previous episodes, of course, From Beyond. All of those.
From Beyond.
Yes, yes. So then he went ahead and branched out, did his Full Moon features, launching with, like as we said, the Puppet Master. You got Dr. Morbid, Castle Freak, Pit and Pendulum, this fucking classic right here. I'm just gonna say, like, even recently in Full Moon, they did like Evil Bong 5, you know, like they've got that that series still going, Puppet Master, Access Termination. So I mean, this guy, he is a legend within the horror space. But the focus of a Full Moon Pictures has always been creating a quality film for no budget, not like just going all out and doing the no budget, don't give a shit, like quality film. And I think this is a great example of that. Like, we'll get into it, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Scrapes the budget for what it's worth and stuff, rather than just kind of throw things out there and stuff like that. They make sure that they cover every corner and stuff. And as you described to me, I didn't even know that. Like, but yeah, they do deliver high quality. I mean, who didn't love Puppet Master? I mean,
the original is so sick. I mean, they've done some recent ones that are pretty amazing, but
I think even the first trilogy, you got, I believe, Puppet Master 3 is what introduced Six Shooter in there or something. Those puppets are great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it, man.
Starring Martha Quinn. I don't know if you know about Martha Quinn. We'll talk about that in a minute. Robert Factor and Aaron Lustig, among others.
I just have to say this, and Alan already knows this because I told him before. So this is a movie that stuck to me, and it was a movie that I had watched on like late night HBO.
I couldn't believe around that there wasn't as much boobs in it for a late night HBO. When you told me that, I was like, what?
So if you're looking for breasts, you're not going to find them in this film. I shouldn't have said that, but you know what? It's still got the gratuity measure, so it's still kind of worth it regardless. This was a movie that kind of sank deep with me. I was in junior high, and maybe I didn't get it as much, but it's a movie that stuck with me. There's something about pirate radio stations, and especially when fucking aliens take over and shit.
So
that being that, let's you know, go into the synopsis before I fucking blow it all.
Oh, you're good at blowing it all, brother. You're good at blowing it all.
Fuck yeah, normally I'll take it all in. Blowing my load right now, shit.
That's right. So synopsis. There's, as Matthias pointed out, you've got your pirate radio station that is being taken over randomly by an alien invasion in an attempt for them to bring specimens back to their planet.
Yes, sir.
And this shit rocked. Let's jump into this thing, because like I went in watching it thinking, okay, this is just gonna be, you know, something a little bit cheesy, which I'm always up for, only to find out that it was well written. I was enjoying it, and hopefully our listeners will enjoy it just as much as we did.
Absolutely. You can find it on Amazon Prime if you're a member. I do believe it's free on Tubi as well, so it's available.
And I didn't even mention one of the coolest parts about this movie.
What's that?
So in one of our previous episodes, I talked about how Icons from the 80s had done the soundtrack, Slaughterhouse Rock, where the film was scored by famous Devo.
Devo.
Didn't exactly hit all the notes that I was hoping it to hit with the acclaim that I know that Devo can bring with it. This movie, however, was scored by another one of our icons of rock. Dare I even say heavy rock, our metal fans.
Fuck yes.
Blue motherfucking Oyster Cult. Dude.
A beautiful band.
Not only beautiful. Not only did Blue Oyster Cult like do the entire score, put in some original music, but on the flip side of that, they brought along a couple other like pretty kick-ass like 80s rock bands, Joker, Fair Game, but the one that stood out for me was this Psychotic Symphony, and they were spelled with like the 80s type of psychotic, S-Y-K-O-T-I-K, and then Symphony, like S-I-N-F-O-N-E-Y. We'll get to that, but man, that was a treat. That was an absolute treat in this jam.
Was that the one that was in the hospital?
Yes, bro.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, very different vibe there, but goddamn. You know what? The soundtrack for this movie was fucking excellent. Excellent.
It was a great like pick of like early 90s metal where you got the hairband thing going, but then you've got that influence of what was going on in 92, which was like, you've got the Red Hot Chili Peppers in there, Primus kind of feel, like it hit a lot of notes I didn't know needed to get hit.
But yeah, you know, like as a kid, this movie influenced me in such a way where, like I said, I only seen it once. For this podcast, I saw it, you know, for the second time. And it's a movie that always stuck with me. That says a lot. You know, there's not too many movies that you watch once and they just stick to you somehow.
That's true. Like Never Ending Story. Falcor!
Right. Well, I mean, I've probably seen that movie a dozen times. But yeah, this is just one of those ones. I even remembered. I remember when I brought it up for this this podcast. In fact, because I was like, because we were talking about how Slaughterhouse Rock was a movie that we anticipated something a little bit different, and it turned out a different way than we expected. And then I realized, fuck, what was that movie that I watched back in the day that was totally what we thought it would be, that what we thought Slaughterhouse Rock would be. And I even went as far as like, you know, it was one of those things where you remember the title until you're thinking about it. And then when I was thinking about it, I was like, fuck, what is that? And I had to go Google radio station taken over by aliens, and boom, it popped up. And I was like, oh, that's the one.
Not zombies, Pontypool. Not, I'm trying to think of other ones. Oh, Dead
there's
Set.
There was another radio station zombie film, too, that came out the same time as Pontypool.
Well, it's funny you say that, because, like, this movie, right from the jump, it gave me vibes of another movie that came out the same year. And I don't know if you remember this. It was a movie called Stay Tuned. It starred John Ritter, Pam Darber, Jeffrey Jones. Mm-hmm. It's where they get sucked into the TV.
He got that new satellite TV and stuff that only gave him access to dreaded channels from beyond.
It was amazing. It is such a fun movie from beginning to end. You will not be disappointed if you check that out. But this one was like the budget version. You know how like sometimes movies come out like Armageddon, and with Armageddon there was deep impact,
yeah.
Right, there was that volcano one, and then Dante's mm-hmm. Peak, right? And yes. Then like there is fucking Stay Tuned and Bad Channels. Not exactly, so it was pretty cool. It was fun too, so I enjoyed that element as well. So jumping into the movie, let's go ahead and get started on that.
It opens with a kind of like a broken transformer. Guy's going to check it out and stuff, like what looks like bad wiring or whatever the case may be. There's a transformer that's kind of sparking out and stuff, and the electric guy is going to check it out. A man named Willis. Oh, I just only remember because, you know, his...
What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis? So a guy goes to check it out, and he sees this thing that looks like, it looks like corrosion.
Yeah, it's like some nastiness on the outside of there. Like, I can see that corrosion. Right.
If you look at your car battery and it's got corrosion, but it's a long, lengthy thing that runs all the way down the transformer and leads somewhere, and the guy's looking at it and he's following where it goes, only to look up and see some kind of light from the sky, and it cuts from there. This in the likes of like RoboCop and stuff like that, this has some kind of satirical message and stuff like that. A lot of news broadcastings and stuff of what's going on. What was the name of this town? It was something Pahootsville, or
yeah, it reminded me of Pawnee Pool. It's like, yeah, like Pahoot, or
definitely a made up place, because I don't think that place really exists, for God's sakes. And they're in the midst of changing a radio station from, God, what was the kind of music it was? It wasn't folk music. It was
so it was a local radio station that played polka.
Polka music.
Polka,
yes.
Right? And so it kind of, after we get that scene of the dude checking out the power, we then fast forward to a news journalist, Lisa Cummings, who is played by Martha Quinn. Martha Quinn, you may know as one of the original MTV VJs. That's right, one of the original VJs for MTV. It's kind of a big like catch for this movie. And she plays the newscaster who is been brought in to publicize the disc jockey's takeover of KDUL. Standing in front of this small little cinder block building in the midst of these towers, who's giving us the rundown of what's going down?
We're outside the modest studios of radio station KDUL, just about the last place you'd expect to find America's most controversial rock and roll disc jockey, but he's here, and this man hired him. It all began when Vernon L. Locknut, KDUL's owner, discovered that his tiny all-polka station was actually authorized to broadcast nationwide on a clear channel.
That's right, Lisa. We broadcast over 666 kilohertz on the AM band. Now, because of the superstition about the number 666, we're the only 666 in the entire country.
Thank you, Vernon. And so this morning, with a new 50,000-watt transmitter installed and tested, Chief Engineer Corky Bradford threw the switch, and Superstation 66 was on the air. Signing on with a 66-hour marathon shift, rock radio's most notorious DJ, Dangerous Dan O'Dare, returns to the airwaves after a six-month suspension by the FCC.
And this is on AM radio, too. So what the fuck you thought you were doing taking over the world with an AM radio station, even back in 92? You're tripping, y'all.
That's right.
And we get a chance to go ahead and meet the new DJ who's going to be taking over this radio station nationally, Mr. Dan O'Dare.
Look, folks, come on. You're in polka hell and I'm in polka hell, but I'm not changing this record until someone guesses the right number. So please, ladies and gentlemen, pick up your phone and let's get some rock and roll going here. Somebody, please. This stuff is killing me.
Dan O'Dare. This movie has some cool names on it.
It does.
I'll give it that for sure. Dan O'Dare is a shock rock radio personality who has been banned by other radio stations, from what I gather. I forgot who the federal communications people,
FCC,
are called.
The FCC?
Yeah, have banned him, and here he is taking over this local but new international radio station.
National.
And he's sitting there playing that polka music.
Like one song or like one album, but just on repeat. Holding repeat. Everyone fucking hostage. Like, you gotta listen to this bullshit. It's a great gimmick, honestly.
I loved every bit of it.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So what he's doing is he puts everyone in, makes everyone hostage on listening to the radio station, plays this polka shit nonstop, constantly. While live on the air, he is tied up in chains. He is absolutely like chained all up with the padlock. And what he's doing is he's screaming at like all the listeners to call in and give him the combo for the fucking padlock. As soon as someone gives him that padlock combo and he can unlock himself, get unchained, he will then convert the radio station from this polka hell that he set everybody into the rock station of the future. So we've got people all over town calling in, trying to give him three numbers to try to unlock that. Because also, if you unlock it, what do you win, Matt?
It is a convertible off-road vehicle, but I can't remember what he said it was exactly.
A Suki, I'm an off-road convertible.
I just pictured it was like one of those like Subaru Brats or something from back in the day, you know?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it probably.
Yeah, like something like really that. Shown. So we got people calling in from like all these different places, from the diner to calling in even at like during band practice at high school on the payphone.
They got some that band. Good God. They were not in sync at all.
Oh, no. But it's also during this, the start of the radio broadcast where he's holding everybody hostage, that we find out that the reporter who was on the scene is connecting him to a national news reporter who's like highlighting the whole conversion of this, which really, I get the feel that this is small potatoes that this national news guy is doing. And he's like taking time out of his day to talk about this stupid, dumb AM radio station, 66.6. And what's that guy's name? Flip something?
I like his name already. Flip. I don't know.
I did
Flip,
too.
Flip something.
I mean, he was cool. He's a cool character.
I think all of them, every person on this movie was like great.
True that. So they're talking to Flip about this national conversion, and Flip's kind of giving him the business about like how this is just a publicity stunt. They continue while they're in the interview, getting those incoming calls with three numbers. He's constantly saying, like, just a minute, Flip. Like, I got to take this call. Like, I got to get out of here. We got to save the people from the polka, right? And as he gets numbers, he's putting into his padlock. Turn, left, right. Nope. Sorry, we're stuck. No Suzuki convertible or whatever it's called for you. Finally, after taking a bunch of numbers and trying so hard to get everything out, Dan turns to Flip and goes,
give me three numbers.
Me?
Yeah, you. Why not?
Well, for some reason, the numbers are a one and a two and a three come to mind.
One, two, three.
It opened.
One, two, three. Why didn't anybody think of that before?
Turns out that's the combination for the lock.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, and now Dan O'Dare is able to unlock himself and unlock people from listening to this polka music. That's when the rock begins.
Oh, yeah. But it also means that Flip is now the winner of that Suzuka convertible.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's an off-roading type of dude. He's going to enjoy it, right?
Yes. that reporter that's on scene, too, Lisa Cummings. Was she the one that told him, like, oh, that's nice of you. You won the grand prize and stuff like that. I bet you're going to donate that.
Well, this turned out to be a lucky interview for you, Flip.
Yeah, pretty amazing, huh?
But, of course, knowing you as I do, you'll probably want to donate that car to charity to avoid any appearance of impropriety.
Time to go to the news, Lisa.
Because it feels pretty rigged, doesn't it?
That's what was said, yes.
And he's like,
time to go to the news, Lisa.
We're out. And like, then they cut to like this Russian chick for the rural news. And like, she reminds me of Bridget Nielsen. Like, very kind of like, I'm not going to mess with this chick.
The rush of UFO sightings in California is due to weather balloons, according to U.S. Department of Defense.
Whatever she says is true and very Russian. Like, okay, in Russia, hat, where are you? You don't wear hat. Hat, where are you?
The dialogue on this movie was on point.
Oh, yeah. On point. Oh, yeah. So then we fast forward to now it's live. Everybody's trying to get settled into like their comfortable places now that the radio station's kicked off. And dude orders some cheeseburgers, tells the assistant to go get some cheeseburgers, go get some food.
His diet drink.
Yeah. And don't forget my Diet Pepsi.
I wasn't sure if we were here yet or not, but there has been some talk of lights in the sky. People are seeing UFOs and stuff
that,
around this small location.
Yeah, you're dead on. So this marathon has been running for a period of time, we find out. Like, we kind of just came into the very end of him being, Dan O'Dare being chained up.
Yeah, for sure. And she's supposed to do an interview with him and stuff, but they don't mesh too well at this point.
Yeah, she he ethically kind of pissed her off, right?
Yeah. He pushes limits a little. And as they're talking, she sees the lights of this UFO, and she tells him about it, and he looks back, and there's nothing. It already went over the horizon and shit.
What I didn't understand is, like, the sheriff then shows up. Lisa's like, I saw the UFO. I seen it with my eyes.
I got a witness. And Dan O'Dare's like, I didn't see shit.
Right. Yeah. Like, the sheriff's like, how do you like that? We got someone who's seen a UFO. Like, hey, you got a witness? And, like, she's like, of course. Dan was right there. And he's like, nope, didn't see shit. You're on your own, Chica. Like, good looking out for getting me in on the interview, but I ain't got your back on this one.
Yeah, you can tell that the sheriff isn't buying into any of this bullshit and stuff. But he also gets a call on the radio of something strange. And he even says something like along the lines of...
Sounds like a lot of people are seeing things tonight. I'm by the substation now. I'll go check it out.
Look, there's another fucking person that, you know, claiming to have seen lights too, or yep, something, or, you know, like another weirdo like you or something.
Yeah,
forgot the terms he actually used.
Yeah, the substation starts getting blown up by calls of people seeing these weird lights in the sky. So, like, it corroborates her story, but the sheriff's like, you just go look for your little UFOs and I'm gonna go figure out what's going on over here. Like,
yes sir,
okie dokie, this is just another publicity stunt. You already pulled one. And, like, meanwhile, Lisa Cummings storms off. Screw this. You're just a loser. And he's like, hey, what about the interview? We're still going to do that 30-minute interview right afterwards? And, like, the station manager's yelling, yo, get back here. You got to get back on the air.
I like how Dan O'Dare closes the door on him and shit when he's walking back into the studio and shit. He's like, knocking, get to his own studio and shit. I think it cuts from there to back to the Transformer from the beginning. And I do believe Lisa Cummings followed the sheriff or the deputy or whatever.
I think she took off because now you got the potential that there's an alien invasion or alien spaceship. So she's like, fuck this story of a little like AM radio station kicking off. Let's go find these damn aliens. Like, that's where the story's at.
Right. Yeah, she probably heard on the radio what was going on and stuff. She thought maybe she had a story going on.
Yeah, she's peels off, takes off in the van. And just as she takes off, in comes that assistant with all them cheeseburgers and the diet soda, right? On his little scooter.
Yes. His little Vespa kind of thing.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got that old motorcycle cop helmet.
Yeah. Like one of the helmets that you'd see on
I'd say Hot like Rod. Police Academy or Chips.
Oh, you're yeah, that's even better. It's like your stereotypical late 80s, you know, flat helmet. But he rolls up, and what do we see in the distance?
We see a mystic fog, and we see a figure standing there, which we can only attest to be our very first alien look.
Mm-hmm.
Of the creature. And it's funny because it's menacing but funny at the same time, because it's like, it's just this silhouette with long legs, long arms and shit, with this bulbous fucking head.
It reminds me of Krang from from Teenage Mutant
from
Ninja
Teenage Mutant
from the, that silhouette, like there's this big brain on a body, but like the body itself has like shoulder pads on it, like Bebop and Rocksteady. I don't know how many Nurtle fits.
It's like a cool little alien costume. I kind of like
it. Yeah, it worked. So like we just see that silhouette, right?
Yeah. And then we see what looks like a giant intergalactic dildo gun.
That's right. Not a earthly dildo gun, but an intergalactic dildo gun.
Right. There's a difference.
Oh, yeah. It smells totally different.
He aims it at the guy in the Vespa and then totally disintegrates the guy.
Yeah, he's gone. Even with the Vespa.
War of the World style. Yeah. Totally disintegrated.
But he left his cheeseburgers, man. Which, damn it, if he didn't leave those cheeseburgers, I bet there would have been heads to roll later. Because homie,
fuck yeah,
homie who ordered those cheeseburgers, I don't know his name yet. I can't remember, but like,
it was a goofy name too.
Corky.
I wanted to say Corky, but I was like, I think I'm off. Yeah, that's right. His name was Corky. Yeah,
yeah. Like he looked like the type of guy you don't want to fuck with. Like not when it comes to food, at least.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't get in between him and his lunch. Yeah.
You might take his wallet, but don't take his cheeseburger. Well, at this point in time, we start going back to like, now the radio station's running business as usual. He starts taking some incoming calls. All the incoming calls are about Flip Humble. That was his name, Flip Humble. And
Flip Humble.
And how Flip Humble, the national news guy that he was doing the interview with, guessed the code 123. And everyone's like in arms saying like, you freaking scammed us. We thought we were going to win this and you scammed us.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of what we would consider nowadays hate mail and shit.
Yeah.
Hate calls.
Oh, dude, for real. Like
conspirators. And they're like, no, that shit was rigged.
I mean, today he would have been canceled in the next hour. But back then, he got some time. He's got some time. There's no internet yet.
Yeah, for sure.
So then on the air, he starts actually talking shit about Lisa, saying she was supposed to do an interview, but now she's off trying to find these aliens. What a nerd. She could be here talking about us, but no, she's over there trying to find these new life forms. And then we go to back to the power towers, the Transformers. Yeah. And now she's shown up and caught up with the sheriff and the original PG&E guy.
Yeah, which I thought he was gone. I thought he was gone.
Me too.
Until we saw him. Yeah, yeah, he was he's sitting there against that transformer, talking about a light he saw in the sky, and he's frantic. Something had happened to him.
It poked me with some kind of rod or something. It was weird. Lights, noise, flying saucer.
And Cummings, will you get that camera out?
He's trying to tell them about it, and the sheriff's going like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" kind of thing, and
he opens his shirt.
He goes and shows
him.
Yeah, he opens his shirt and he's got like some kind of weird mold fungus thing growing on his chest.
Yeah, not to be confused with back in the 80s when you used to have the Tom Selleck, you know, like the burly man, hairy chest. No.
The hamburger meat?
Yeah. I don't want any of these newbie kids thinking like, oh, that's what it looks like if you don't wax. Like, no. That shit is gross as fuck. It is moldy. It's dirty. And this dude is freaked out that it's on him. I mean, he's going into the...
It poked me with some kind of rod or something right there in my chest.
I mean, as you should be. I mean, fuck. What the fuck you wish it growing on me?
Yeah. So then Corky walks outside because it then immediately flashes to him going like,
where's that guy with my burgers?
Yeah, outside the station. Yeah.
He's looking around. There's no one around. He's like, son of a bitch. Oh, wait, what's this?
Yeah, dude with the Vespa has been gone since the alien evaporated him and shit. And he sees the little bag.
What's that?
Of the takeout. And he's all, well, are those my burgers? Like, who cares about what happened to the delivery guy?
Those better be my cheeseburgers.
Are those my burgers? Wait,
they are my cheeseburgers. He sticks his nose in it. He's like, where's my diet?
Smelling it.
Where's my diet soda?
Yeah, where's my diet?
Dang, nugget.
Like it. goes back into the radio station, takes it with him.
Yeah, you know damn well he was like, oh yeah, I don't give a fuck where these burgers came from.
Yes, sir.
They go back inside. We now get to hear Vernon Locknut, the station manager, giving it damn the business about, like, what the hell you doing going ahead and pissing off television folk? We're radio folk. Stay in your lane, boy. And then he turns to Corky and he's like,
I'm going out for a few hours. Do me a favor and make sure he doesn't say anything that puts me into a lawsuit.
Hey, I'm an engineer, not an attorney.
And then he's like, hey, Dan, I got these three cheeseburgers with like lettuce and tomato on it. You want one? It was like he asked knowing the dude was going to say no so that he could just be like, all right.
It's all right. I can take care of all of them.
I should have ordered four. Fuck. He then shows that alien creature silhouette rolling up on the building with some other little creature with it. It looks like the dude from Battery Is Not Included or something.
If
you took like cymbals for a drum set and then like rolled it over, because we're just seeing silhouettes here, so like it's nothing much more than that.
Two creatures that come from the UFO site.
Right. He continues taking some calls in. Dan's getting calls in the radio, and then now the calls are starting to shift a little bit from the conspiracy theory of the flip phone call to
Dan. This is Peanut again. Listen, this might sound a little kooky, but there's two truckers in here that swear they saw a flying saucer circling over Bahuda tonight.
The entire populace of Bahuda is out there tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We got truckers seeing UFOs. Bunny's boyfriend, the entire Bahuda football team, saw a UFO. And CWN's Puff Piece correspondent, the distinguished Lisa Cummings, she's out there with His Royal Majesty Sheriff Earl Hickman. They've not only seen a UFO, why, they're chasing one.
But it doesn't surprise me, Corky, because I always knew that the first place that visitors from another planet would want to hit when they finally got to Earth would be... Bahuda, home of...
Super Station! People are talking about these lights in the sky and what's going on. The whole time Dan is just like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
right.
These guys are cuckoo. This is some bullshit. And he's doing it on live on the air. And even fucking Corky knows, like, you can't be saying this shit.
Focus on the new radio station.
Yeah, and don't talk shit. If they saw something, they saw something. Let them see it. Say they saw it. Like, who are you to say you didn't? So suddenly, out of nowhere, there's like a commotion that takes place in the radio station. You remember what that was, Matt?
I wish I could see this frame.
You're
by
good.
Frame.
Like, at that point in time, suddenly out of nowhere, for no fucking reason, entire radio station starts going like nuts. All the electronics in the back are smoking, and like we're seeing sparks and explosions, and they're like, what the hell is going on? They're like, I don't know, I got it under control, I'm working on it over here. And like he could see that he's still on the air, so he's like, you know what, I mean, you do you, Corky, I'm gonna be over here doing my thing.
Well, we see a bright light coming from the exterior door. The interior door, you know, it's not that you walk in, there's a door, and then there's another door into the studio. You see a bright light coming through the little window, and then it suddenly just blows open.
Yep. And in comes our first shot of what that alien looks like. What did you think it looked like when you saw it?
But if I were to, it was like, picture a giant raisin head, big old lengthy body, a giant raisin head with a little visor screen, a little square like TV almost looking screen on its face, followed by a little kind of, like you said, Batteries Not Included robot looking
or dude. I don't know if any of our listeners have been in Disneyland Star Tours,
he did,
but right when
like,
you're
yeah.
walking in, there's this little droid that's talking you through what's going down.
This guy's got the little glowing eyes and stuff and the brain dome on top.
Like you took a colander or strainer for pasta and turned it upside down, put some eyes on it. I don't know, somewhere in there between that and a symbol. Anyways, cool little creature. So in comes this fucking alien, kicks down the door. The fuck is that you got, Matt?
My thigh is still fucked up.
Uh-oh.
I tried to reach over and my microphone came off the fucking table, busted itself, and fucking there's no connection anymore. So, you know what? You're dealing with an ear pod.
I mean, it's been worse before. I may just take the first half of this episode that we recorded 4 months ago and then just hack it in with the last half of the episode. And then we'll fucking see what happens. As he's taking over the station, the engineer's like explaining, like, hey, they've got the ability to keep the power on. They may be doing their thing, but like, we still are live. And so Dan O'Dare is on the radio saying, like, hey, this shit's going down. Like, you guys got to check it out.
Well, dude, this fucking radio station is being taken over by the aliens.
Right. And he, like, all that's happening is people are thinking this is just a new publicity stunt. Okay, so you were chained up, doing polka, now it's rock and roll, and it's aliens. Okay, dude.
And it didn't strike me as he's the kind of character that would believe in the kind of shit, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. No, he's kind of a no-nonsense, like, fast-talking kind of guy. Obviously a radio host, smart, has an idea of how to pull in the crowd and shit. So getting bought into the concept of the aliens just does not, you're right, seem like it's part of his personality.
Right.
So the alien is now in the radio station, setting up shop, starting to go ahead and get comfortable. Looks like he puts some, like, some type of, what's the term I'm trying to think of? Like, matter?
It was like moss. It was like some kind of grown thing.
After the doctor goes ahead and runs some tests.
It looks like the nastiest case of tinea cruris I've ever seen.
Tinea cruris?
Mm-hmm. Commonly known as jock itch.
Watch out in those lockers rooms, locker boy.
Yeah. Wear your sandals in the shower. Or this could be you. Yeah, so like the aliens start putting their, like, whatever type of biological matter over the microphone and over, like, some, like, key little things in the studio, which allows them to start, I'm not saying take over the radio station.
Well,
but
that's what it is, right? That's what they're doing.
No, because he's still live. They're still playing his music. He's still talking, but they're using his voice.
There's a reason for that, though.
Yeah, there is, that they explain later. But as of right now, they're just like using that energy that he's like giving out and like kind of just playing around and looking all alien-like and looking like Mystery Science Theater or something.
Right.
We get to see like all the people in the different locations that we saw earlier at the truck stop, at the hospital, at the school, all like listening to the radio station, and they're all tied in. They think that this is the raddest thing they've ever heard. It's like War of the Worlds, except AM radio version or Ghost Watch. There's a little throwback.
This guy went fucking glory hole with it.
Yeah, you brought the glory hole back. So the aliens, they bust in and they start going ahead and playing with the machinery and like all that shit's going down. Like they're taking over. They're hitting things. Like the guys are
buttons,
just,
they're all over the fucking,
they're making the soundboard.
Yeah,
they're making themselves comfortable. Well, the funny thing to me is that like,
it's like they're making a frequency of their own.
Yeah. That's fair.
Think about radio waves. Radio waves can last a very long term of travel. We utilize them in satellites. We utilize them in things that are even farther than fucking Jupiter nowadays. So if you really think about it, it's not a bad way to send a message across the universe.
No.
And if you have an overhaul, if you have a substation there that was based for that, it doesn't mean that it's absolutely out of range that alien technology would utilize that to disperse messages across outer space.
Absolutely not. And on top of that, they had just upgraded this AM radio station with a new super powerful satellite that'll allow them to transmit across the entire U.S., not just locally. So
right.
It kind of makes sense that they have the ability to do more than what other people would. So, I mean, that would be the attraction for the aliens, right?
Technically speaking, and I'm in no way a scientist. I'm going to tell you, those who listen.
But I believe you, Matt. I believe you.
Tell you that science and beyond space technology and stuff is one of my biggest things and stuff. I've learned a lot from the way, like, information travels and stuff throughout the cosmos. And once you get to the outer regions, when you get to beyond our planet, it's very easy to send a signal across to just about anywhere.
So these aliens are using this radio station to transmit something, and we start seeing like weird shit, like the aliens are moving something around, and like there's like this little red screen, and through the screen you could see some chick that they've zoomed in on, and they're looking at this chick through the screen. And they go to that Greasy Spoon diner where the waitress that's working there, Cookie, played by our homie Charlie, she hears the music, and suddenly in through the door comes a fucking band called Fair Game, the lead singer Ron Keel. It's a full-on 80s or early 90s rock music video. Like, they just start rocking, standing up on the counters, fucking doing what fucking rock stars do. There's smoke in there, there's laser lights, and there's all the patrons who were in there earlier, which are all truck drivers and shit, sitting around watching this rock band go off as like this waitress starts dancing on the counter and fucking rocking out.
Just like you said, exactly. I want to disclose this film as the very first, like, honestly, from what I've seen, the very first rock opera of all time.
I wouldn't go there. There's Tommy. Tommy from the Who. Tommy from Who would be with the first one, I would say. Tommy, can you hear me? Dun, 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 dun.
From what movie?
Tommy. It's it's from like the 70s, like early 70s, bro. The band The Who.
Okay, so wait, you got Tommy, you got Rocky Horror Picture Show.
There's a few.
This kind of falls in line with that. Like
Michael Jackson opera. Thriller. Can't hate on Thriller, bro. Anyways, where I was going with it, though, was Thriller was the first music video that they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on, $500,000, and they brought in the director, the actual special effects from American Werewolf in London. And so that's why he did the entire transformation.
That was John Landis, right?
Yes, and it was done beautifully, fucking beautifully. And then you've got Vincent Price in there. All right, so we're in the Greasy Spoon, and all shit is going down, going crazy. And homegirl's dancing on the fucking the counter. And it's funny because they're doing this like flash between this music video where everybody's rocking, low lights, and then like her just dancing on top of the counter with the radio playing and no band in sight. Like real life is her just randomly dancing on the counter. And like this leads to her suddenly getting like disappearing from the coffee shop completely, and now is in the studio, but in like this like glass
little vial,
yeah, like a lantern light or something.
So these aliens are at the radio station. They got these little vials set up.
Yeah,
you don't know what they're about. And then as my boy said here, she gets sucked into one of their music videos in her head, you know. It's kind of like
It's like the aliens are in her head.
This is like watching a horror movie romp with an MTV kind of twist, right? So they got their own rock music videos and shit. She's dancing away and she disappears. She goes into the file. The vials that are contained in the radio station where the aliens are. So now we know at this point these aliens are actually collecting women.
Well, the first one, at least, they got. So they've got one. And now the radio station host, he's freaking out. He's still trying to go ahead and tell people, hey, this shit's going down. Save me. And people are listening, loving
There's
it.
There's really just aliens like, in my studio, and I'm not fucking joking.
It's the greatest shit ever. And so, like,
hey, dude, honestly, I try to put myself in that perspective and go, like, that would be fucking scary. If it was a fucking, like, really legit radio station I was listening to, I'd be scared, bro.
I would be so locked in just listening. Like, I'd be like, yes, I want to hear more. And that's
what people think, right? It's like some kind of publicity stunt.
Yeah, so then, like, the sheriffs show up over at the fucking Greasy Spoon, and they're like, what's going on? And they're like, she's gone. I don't know what the hell happened, but out of nowhere, you know, waitress just done up and disappeared. She is gone. And they're like, no, she's not gone. Like, that's impossible. There's no way that Cookie just disappeared. And Peanut's explaining to the cop, like, I'm telling you, this is what happened. So the cop's like, well, we're going to have to investigate and see what's going on. They then flash to the hospital where they're performing surgery on Taco Meat Man and finding out that he's got this fungus that they're peeling off slowly. And over by the radio is a piece of this fungus, and it starts dancing to the music. The radio host and the engineer decide, well, fuck it. This is our chance. They go ahead and they try to rush the aliens, only for the aliens to go ahead and knock out the engineer. And they put him in this like weird cocoon shit. And he's just like covered in this green foam and like just looks like a moth in middle of fucking transition or something. Meanwhile, like the radio host is kind of like pleading with people.
When I showed up here to do this marathon, seems like a long time ago. A little while ago, Corky fought with the aliens trying to rescue a 12-inch girl from a glass bubble. Recognized her as a waitress from a local truck stop. Corky Bradford tried to save that girl. The aliens killed him with electrical shock. Then covered him in a hairy green fungus. Corky Bradford died a hero. I don't expect to die a hero. I don't expect to get out of this situation either. Pretty soon the aliens are gonna start to play that music again. And I have this funny feeling that whatever it is they're doing with that strange equipment, it has something to do with tuning in to the people that are listening to the station. I think it would be a good idea if everybody turned off their radios. I want you to stop listening to Clear Channel Superstation 66.
Stop listening. You can listening. Just see that things aren't going right and the radio host is trying to get out of there. So they then go to one of the venues where we've been at, which is at the school. And the school, there's a girl who's at the school who's been like playing after school with the band practice. And she calls into the radio station. She had called in earlier trying to give the code for the lock. And now she's calling in and she's like, just saying like, this is the greatest show I've ever heard. And he looks into that little red thing on the counter, the little TV or whatever. And he could see a reflection of her. And he's like, what are you wearing? She goes, I'm wearing this skirt and this paisley top. And he's like, hang up now, like stop listening immediately. They flash back to her in the school, and now instead of there being like a high school marching band in the auditorium where they're playing, instead it's like a new rock band who's like playing in the auditorium. Yeah, anyway, so there's a new rock band who's there looking even more like early 90s Anthony Kiedis. Some dude's got no shirt on, just wearing overalls, and yeah, another dude's got a beret with his like with the beret turned backwards and shit, thinking he's all badass kind of thing. yeah they want to be but they're not quite to that level yet. And so while they're all rocking and shit, homegirl, just like the waitress earlier, she's dancing, she's kind of getting her freak on, she's just doing her thing, and like randomly again she just suddenly disappears after them showing the rock band playing, and then the real life, what's happening is her just freaking all the little band geeks.
Yeah, like, what now the fuck's going on?
Yeah, now she's sucked into the same fucking tube. Anyways, so they go back to the radio station, and outside now you've got Lisa Cummings is back outside because now she's exploring this alien landing. She's explaining to Flip Humble, like, oh shit, there's an alien here. Flip's like, well, I mean, do what you got to do. How far is this place from me? Like, I'll get out there. But like, I need you to recapture every fucking thing because I mean, this is good news. The cop then goes ahead and shows up, jumps on the mic, and he's like, stay away. There's nothing going on here. It's all bullshit. There's just some weird stuff going on, but don't come near. So then they decide they're going to try to like blow a hole in the door to go ahead and get to the guys in the radio station. And they go ahead and put like something on the door to like,
well, the door's covered in the same fucking alien moss that everything else was. The guy that you said, the electrical station, it was just impenetrable.
Yeah, they try to like use one of those battling rams and they just keep going at it and they can't get the shit to bust. In fact, they even hit some of the gunk and it like busts all over them and they're like, yeah, that's gross. So then next thing we see is the aliens continue to fuck around with the radio station, only to then dial back into the hospital. And now at the hospital, you've got the nurse there who's assisting in the surgery or whatever. Oh yeah,
maybe it's because she's in her nurse uniform.
You think that's it? You think that steps it up a notch?
You can assume what kind of nurse uniform we're talking about.
Hello, nurse.
She's got the gown. She's got the little head cap. She's got everything, man.
Yeah, she's listening to the radio and, of course, following along with what's going on. Just then, she gets sucked into her music video, which I think this is my favorite music video of the entire fucking
Mind
thing.
You,
the symphonic
maybe
symphony.
Maybe because the nurse, but
no, the psychotic symphony. Is that the name of the band?
I don't know, but it was a good fucking song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've got like this nun who plays bass.
They rock and rolled with the little fucking. We got the nun playing the guitar and shit.
Yeah, they've got a. Oh yeah, the guy who's strapped down to the gurney. He's dressed like a cow, but he's got like a skeleton face and like yellow hair, looking like badass. He's all strapped down to the gurney. There's another dude who looks like he's from like the old Duracell commercials with Primus, back when they were all like plastic looking, and he looks like he's just one of those plastic like Duracell guys. There's another, like I said, a chick someone who's dressed up like a nun, but they're wearing like big boots and a bass guitar just stomping through the halls. I mean, they are fucking awesome. They're moshing against the wall. They're getting into it. And then they flash to what's really going on, which is just the nurse headbanging and
just
looking all sexy.
Out. Like
she, I think she took off her or opened up her jacket, showed that she's wearing a negligee underneath. And I mean, but it's a fun time, only for her to suffer the exact same fate that the other two ladies had already suffered, which is she gets sucked into those tubes and is now in the studio with the other people trapped. So at this point, Dan O'Dare's like, stop listening. Don't listen to us. Shut off the radio. He even starts cussing, and the guy, like the Vernon Locknut, the owner, he's freaking out because he's like, "Oh, the F word! No, don't
say
the F word
that on this channel."
Oh shit! No, you can't say that either. Like, we're gonna be screwed. So the doc shows up, and the doc's like, "Hey, I got an idea. Let me see if we could try to help these two guys who were trying to like get into the studio and got and they got the fucking moss all over their arms now. Let me see if I can help them." And he starts to try to figure out ways to assist. And he's just kind of on site, just honestly getting in the way, if you ask me, because he's not offering anything.
Yeah. He's just investigating what the fuck that shit is on them, but not helping any situation. They got there.
Yeah, so now you got Dan who's like talking about
he's like, I'm telling you, there's fucking aliens here in my studio that are fucking taking over, and they're growing moss all over my shit and stealing fucking women, putting them in vials and shit.
Yeah, they only trap the hotties. They're only hotties in there. So like, if you're a hottie, you definitely gotta stop listening right now. This is when
Elizabeth, watch out.
This is when he goes ahead and he looks over and he sees some germicide that's sitting on the counter. And this is after he gets infected. He realizes he's got some of the shit on him. He then looks over and he's looking at all the shit. He's got some duct tape, some electrical tape. He's got a box cutter. He's got some germicide. He's like, all right, I got to figure out what the fuck I can do. Let's let's figure something out. So he sprays the germicide on the back of his hand, and like miraculously it starts immediately disappearing.
Hold the presses, ladies and gentlemen. There's something happening here, and it might be good news for the Danger Man. Just sprayed the alien fungus with germicide. It's receding.
And he's telling everybody over the radio, like, oh my God, it's going away. Hey, I'm spraying it, and it keeps going away.
It's weird, because they had a pallet full of these fucking germicide.
Well, I never understood where the germicide came from later, but I'll explain that.
Okay.
So he goes ahead and he takes some of this germicide, and he goes over to where his friend has been captured inside of the cocoon. He starts spraying him. Well, this alerts the little robot buddy that hangs out with the alien creature.
Big old fucking nutsack.
Cosmo?
Head.
Yeah, nut. Oh, dude. He really does look like a shriveled nutsack. Except for a whole head.
It looks like a nutsack with a TV screen for a head.
Right. He looks just like one of the creatures from Cult of the Lamb. So, homeboy confronts the fucking monster, and he's starting to take a look in the screen and realizes that this alien is now starting to zoom in on his main squeeze at the beginning, Miss Lisa Cummings. And he's like, Lisa, you need to fucking turn off the radio, get the hell out of there. And the alien like catches on, like, oh no, that you're messing with my jam here. You're being a cock block. And starts like zapping him and like moving away.
The alien knew? Because now that we're talking about this.
I think he did.
I mean, it seems like it was purposeful, right, at that point.
Yeah. Well,
because he's like, you're going to fuck with my industry, I'm going to fuck with yours.
Well, that's when he goes ahead and, like, the alien tries to get Lisa Cummings and then accidentally gets the tuba player from the band that showed up trying to find his girl, the sexy girl. And now you got, like, the tuba player stuck in the tube, and the alien's pissed off. He's like, that was not what I wanted. I wanted that hot chick, newscaster.
Is that when he fried the robot?
Yeah. So he freaking fries
the
robot.
He's like, you picked the wrong one, you motherfucker, but they don't speak.
They don't.
It's cool, because it's all hand motions and shit, but you kind of get what's going on.
Totally.
So it's kind of cool. You're like, you kind of learn to do like motion readings.
Yeah. So now there's this like battle going between Dan O'Dare, who's actually, he originally was kind of a dick and a douche at the beginning, and now he's turning into like a full-on good guy. He's like actually defending people, trying to stick up for like humanity.
I almost think it's an homage to like conspirators and like people that were against the grain. Like if you think about like Howard Stern, right? Like Howard Stern was always against the grain, and like people were like, you either love him or you hate him, right? And I think that's what Dan O'Dare was supposed to be.
I could see that.
And Dan O'Dare had proved basically himself worthy and shit, that he wasn't just a guy that was one to be messed with. He was controversial and all that stuff, but
well, Dan O'Dare is looking to get with Lisa Cummings. That's what I really pulled out of all this.
That's true. And he's driven by a very primitive kind of plot.
There you go. But like at the same time, he's also recognizing like, I don't want to see anyone gets caught in these fucking things. So, like, let me save anybody I can.
Yeah, like, nobody should have to get sucked into some alien vortex somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, so that drives fucking Dan O'Dare to grab the safety knife, and he slashes at the alien, and he just goes, fuck it. And the alien immediately, like, it's like he punctured a suit, and it just starts spraying out air and, like, boom, explodes. And out comes this crazy Beetlejuice looking three-headed like monster who's walking on these robotic legs.
I forgot about that part. That's right. That's when the true monster got shown.
Yeah. So like we realize then that the alien is actually this like crazy three-headed looking monster that they really did a great job creating. It looks like a cross between like a snake and Audrey 2.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for 1992, this movie did not have bad prosthetics nor special effects, was very on top. And, you know, funny enough, is I'm going to give this movie credit for this, too. Like, it's just, as far as being, like, a B-rated, like, horror film that, only, like, so many fucking people would see, they put a lot of depth into it.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Well, with the actually, just the creational aspect, like the monster creation.
Yeah, this absolutely fit into the stereotype for me of a full moon movie, which is really well done script, well plot, super right. low budget, super low budget. But the dialogue is fantastic. The plot is great.
It's always on point, dude. I can't think of a single moment that almost didn't have me laugh. There was those that obviously you're not meant to laugh at, but To be honest, like it hit you at a random time. It wasn't just like you were being set up for the laughs. It's just like expect the unexpected. You're gonna fucking laugh.
Yeah, without a doubt. And like the crazy shit with that is, it's really well done. It just is really well done. So here we are. The new monster has been exposed. It realizes that, like, there's no chance for it to continue on its mission because you got me. You've exposed me for who I am. It then bites
I'm out
on
of my spacesuit.
I don't know if it means like it can't breathe because of our whatever. I don't have a clue.
It's more like I think basically the spacesuit has been punctured. You can't leave anywhere.
You've seen my nads. There's no going back from this now.
Right. It's like waiting.
You've seen what I got. There's no hiding it. There's no big dick energy over here, bro. I'm out. And so
That's right. So
fucking it just bites onto some like controller arm that it had created and boom, disappears. Now there's this explosion at the door that like creates a hole in the door, and out through the door comes Dan O'Dare. He brings out the fucking waitress, Cookie, and then right after that comes the nurse Bunny, then the fucking homie Grits, who is the in the cocoon earlier, and finally Lisa Cummings, the news reporter. She comes crawling out. So now they've got all these people back, full size. And Flip Humble's out there recording now on site saying like, hey, we're here on site. Look at all this shit that's gone down. Officially, aliens are real. Like, here we are. The cops and everybody are looking inside trying to figure out what the fuck happened.
I can see Dan O'Dare now as well as CWN field reporter Lisa Cummings. Lisa, Dan, over here. Flip Humble, CWN News. Lisa, another job well done. And as usual, CWN is first on the scene. What exactly happened in there?
Well, Flip, you will be glad to know that I got it all on tape. All you have to do is figure out how to blow it up.
And Dangerous Dan O'Dare, the bad boy of rock and roll. What do you have to say for yourself?
Get the fucking mic out of my face.
She was shrunk down and put in the tube. So she hands him back the video camera that's now like the size of her hand after she's been carrying.
That's right.
She's
trying to fucking format this, bitch.
Yeah. Like it was this massive thing that just hung out on her shoulder. And like Jenny
You got to remember that this came from the early 90s. So
that's what I was saying.
Dude, like those kind of cameras they had were like fucking, like you had to hang on your shoulder. They were so fucking big.
Yeah, dude, because like there's no handheld cameras. There's no like phones or anything like that. They're all huge. So they go ahead and they start to leave. And oh, this is where they realize that the hot chick from high school that was with the band, she's still stuck inside the little fucking tube, frozen, like in her little size, like stuck in there. And they go credits. Like she's just forever going to be stuck in there.
That sucks. She's in like some alien limbo and shit.
Well, did you see the after credits scene?
See, I didn't. I thought this was way before any kind of after credits. I didn't know that they had action.
Yeah. Okay. So the cool thing is there's a movie. One of the first movies that Full Moon Features ever did was a movie called Doll Man. It's about this,
I remember,
like,
Doll Man.
12-inch tall fucking doll who fucking goes out and solves crimes and fights evil, right? Right. Well, at the very, very, very end, you see Doll Man, like, walking down the road, hitchhiking, and you don't realize that the guy who's hitchhiking is only 12 inches tall, which is why all the cars are driving by him. And he goes ahead and he makes some comment about,
it's a cruel world. It's kind of lonely when you're a foot tall, like this girl Bunny, the one that got shrunk by aliens. Maybe a visit from Doll Man will cheer her up.
End credit. Now, what I did not know is, did you know there's a sequel to this movie?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising.
It's true. It's true. So there's a sequel,
I mean,
to this movie.
Features, they're going to fucking rip out of it what they can.
But the sequel to the movie is Doll Man versus Demonic Toys. So
which
it goes,
was a franchise of its own.
Correct. So it goes Doll Man, then this movie, and then Demonic Toys, because the character,
really?
The aliens.
So they just actually fell into place with that.
Yes, the aliens from this are characters
and to those who didn't know, this is actually a refurbished podcast. Like, we had to go back and redo this one because it's been so long, and
yeah, we had some recording issues the first time we went around.
So from the time now, that's a very interesting taking. Like, it kind of shows us where the franchise of this movie has gone, which I didn't even. So.
Which is dope. Because now I want to go watch the fucking Demonic Toys vs. Doll Man. Because, like, I need to go ahead
and close
this movie.
It's so weird that it actually, like, kind of corresponds, though.
I love it.
No, I've always loved Full Moon.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I just watched the Littlest Reich. That shit was good.
Oh, my God.
The Puppet Master Littlest Reich.
The Nazi guy.
Yeah. Dude, it was good, though.
dude,
anyways,
fuck yeah, dude.
So, good Bad shit. Channels. First thing I want to go ahead and call out here was not a horror movie. Not at all. It was very much a sci-fi movie. Very much sci-fi. But it was a fun fucking sci-fi romp, let me just say. Also, I may use bits of our old previous recording and part of our new recording. So if you're listening to this, I'm not going to tell you what the fuck was old and what's new. You'll figure that out yourself. All right, brother. What else you got?
That's about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely be catching up again soon.
Just wanted to say, thankful to have my friends here with me. I love them to death. This is why I kind of fabricated this bullshit. It was more of a way for me to collect with my homies and stuff. We all like horror movies, and I'm glad to be back, man. I had to miss the last few, but you know what? We love these horror films. We love the B-rated, and we will always love you to death. Every one of you guys that listen to this, you're our fanfare, and we believe in you. And thank you for tying us together the way you do.
Couldn't have said it better, man. If you got a chance, definitely hit us up on Instagram at MutantCityHorror.com. You can find us on Spotify. Please do subscribe and like. Every little vote helps. It makes a big difference for us. You'll also be able to go ahead and catch some of the footage and some of the pictures from the Happy Fright Fest that was recently done. Looking forward to going in and hearing more about that soon. Other than that, man, it's great to see you again. It's good to catch up, and looking forward to next time. All right, everybody.
Absolutely.
Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. Bye. You know what? Because that's why we do what we do. We're fucking punk rock, dude. We don't give a fuck.